As many of you know, I have two little boys. I've got one that's just under 2 years and another that's just under a half a year. And it's been amazing to see the world through their eyes, you know, and pick up on some of the things that they pick up on. You know, Roger talking about his children and at their ages. And some things catch their attention that we wouldn't have realized would have caught their attention. Like my hands. My boys are fascinated with my hands. Judah, our youngest, he's squirming around there, laying on his back. If I hold my hand out in front of him, he just... And he'll reach up with his hand and he'll grab my thumb. He'll reach up with his other hand and he'll grab my pinky. And he's gotten to where now he can do that well, and he gets excited when he gets a hold of my hand. But there for a while, he would just grab it and he'd just sit there and look at it, just fascinated. Our oldest, Isaiah, just putting him to bed last week, he started something new. And he would take my closed hand and he would take my fingers one by one and peel them open until he got my whole hand open. Then he'd give me a little pop and just start laughing. That's a new thing. I mean, for him, my hands have been a fascination ever since he was in the neonatal intensive care unit just after his birth. And they've been fascinated with these hands. These hands, they've changed their diapers. These hands have washed Isaiah's hair. This hand has held Judah's bottle, and this hand has given Isaiah a pop when he chose not to listen to words. These hands have held them close. These hands have held books open to read. These hands have been very involved in their lives ever since the beginning. It makes sense that they would have a fascination with these hands. You know, as a father, I think about our father. I think about his hands. Wouldn't it be cool if we could see God's hands? I mean, wouldn't that be great? If we could just see God's hands, if he would hover his hand over us so that we could reach out and we could grab his thumb and we could grab his pinky and just sit there and look fascinated at his hands. All that they do for us. Think about God's hands. All the love, the care, protection, and the guidance that God's hands give to those who choose to sit in God's hands. In God's hands. Sometimes we forget about these hands of God, don't we? Sometimes we forget about the care that he has given us, about the protection that he has provided for us, about the love and the guidance that he has shown us through his hands. And at those times, we take our own lives into our own hands because we think we can handle it. It doesn't take long before we learn that we just don't have the ability to keep a grip on our life. Not the way God's hands can keep a grip on our life. Things start slipping and moving around, and we start getting stressed and we start getting worried. And we worry about small things. You know, we worry about pretty petty things, don't we? Insignificant things, unimportant things. But we also worry about big things too, don't we? Important things like health, like loneliness, like relationships, like our money, finances. Those are important things. And these are important subjects. So we're going to spend the next few weeks looking at these four subjects. You know, a lot of people worry about health, don't they? I mean, there's nothing petty about worrying about health or about being concerned about our health. There's nothing petty about it. Our health is a very important part of our lives. And we have plenty of reasons to be concerned about our health, don't we? I mean, we're surrounded by all sorts of diseases and sicknesses and ailments. And a lot of those are life-threatening. Some of them don't have cures yet. There's a reason to be concerned about our health. Some of us fear our family tree. We look back on our family tree and we see all these health issues that our father and our father's father and his father, or our mother and our mother's mother, that they've dealt with. And we see that through through genetics, that we have a chance of picking up on some of those risks. This past week on the morning shows, the morning news shows, I'll turn the news on sometimes if I've got a few minutes to see what the weather's going to be like. And this week I just picked up, and maybe it's been going on for a while and I just noticed it because I was working on this sermon. But on a variety of mornings and on a variety of different stations, they had a little segment on health. Seen about every time I turned it on in the morning, there was something on there about health. How to eat right. What foods to avoid. What exercise equipment works. What exercise equipment doesn't work. And it's a popular subject among the media. And I believe it's popular because we as individuals, we're concerned about this subject. We're interested by this subject. And rightfully so. If we're honest with ourselves, we aren't a very healthy society on a physical level. We're not the healthiest of people. When Jessica and I lived in South Point, we went to a church in Kentucky, and there was a couple in that church that hosted a foreign exchange student from Germany. And this guy came over, and he was really careful about what he ate. And after he'd been here for a little bit, a few months, he got a membership to a gym, and he was just adamant about going to the gym and working out. And so much so that it caused some problems in the household. And there was arguments over, you know, we don't have time, or we got to run you up there. So they asked him, you know, why is this so important to you? Why are you so adamant? And his comment back might not have been the most polite thing to say. But he said, I don't want to get fat and lazy like the rest of America. I thought, wow. I mean, if that represents how other countries view us, and if we look at ourselves, we don't have a very healthy lifestyle. You know, we take medicine for our cholesterol level, and yet we frequent the drive-thrus. We skip meals because we're too busy to eat. We miss out on sleep, and we don't give our bodies and our minds time to recoup from our stress-filled days. We don't exercise because there are more important things to do with our time. And we wonder why we worry about health issues. You know, there are a lot of things that we worry about that we don't have any control over. I believe the percentage is 92% of the things we worry about, we really don't have any control over. We worry about things that have happened in the past. Can't change that. We worry about things that have not yet happened. And a lot of us make stuff up to worry about, right? I don't care who you are. There's something about us that has a certain amount of paranoia built into who we are. And you get to thinking about things. You imagine things. And you get to worrying about those things. We worry unnecessarily about some health things that really aren't something to be worried about. We get scared from something and we end up blowing it up and worrying and worrying and worrying. And we spend all our time and energy over here in this 92% that we can't do anything about. So I'd like to suggest that we take that energy and move it into the 8% that we can do something about. We take a look at what we can do. You know, we are in God's hands. Ultimately, our life is in His hands, especially as Christians. Our health is in His hands, but an interesting thing has happened. God has loaned to us our bodies. God has also given to us free will. So a large portion of our health is in our hands because God's hands has given it to our hands. And we're responsible for this body that God has loaned to us. We are entrusted with our bodies. And God didn't just leave us out in the cold either. He didn't just give us these bodies and say, well, you guys can go figure it out on your own. All right, you're going to have to wait until you develop scientists, and you're going to have to develop microscopes, and you're going to have to be able to study these things. And then you can find out what you need to eat, what's healthy and what's not healthy. He didn't just leave us hanging and leave us on our own. God has given us guidelines on how to take care of our bodies. Did you know that God's Word has health tips in it? Did you know that? It's pretty interesting. In Philippians chapter 3, there's a section there where Paul is talking about those who are enemies of the cross of Christ. And he says about these people, he says, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. I don't think any of us want to be in that category of people. People that are considered enemies of the cross. People who make their stomach their God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 12, Paul quotes a couple of pagan statements that were very common at their time, pagan sayings. One of the things he quotes is something that a lot of us would be familiar with, that everything is permissible to me. Another one of the pagan sayings that he quotes is that food for the stomach and the stomach for food. And these parallel a lot of our modern day understandings of things, of the attitude of if it feels good, just do it. It's got to be right if it feels good. In this section, in 1 Corinthians, Paul is dealing specifically with sexual sin. But the principles that he applies to this, I believe that we can apply generally to how we treat our body, to how we care for our body. Paul says in this section that even though there are things that we can do that are permissible, that is, that there are certain behaviors that aren't really wrong, you know? A cheeseburger or a fast food joint, it's not really wrong. But he follows that up by saying, not everything's beneficial to us. Even though we might be allowed to do certain things, it doesn't mean that's all going to be beneficial. A cheeseburger at the drive-thru joint might not be beneficial. He talks about the statement that the pagans had made, that the food for stomach and stomach for food, saying that well, our stomach was made for food, so let's eat. And whereas that's true, that our stomach was made for food, we have a larger God than our stomach. He follows that up by saying that the body is meant for the Lord, and the Lord for our body. So just because our stomach's made for food, it doesn't give us the green light to overindulge and allow our stomach to become our God. We should eat to live instead of living to eat. On one of those morning news shows, one of the tips for eating better, they said, was to turn your TV off while you're eating. Which, we watch TV a lot while we eat. In my house. And I thought it was interesting because their viewpoint on that was they said that eating was meant to fill you. We eat because we need nourishment. We eat because we need food for energy. And we've tied eating in with entertainment. And he said, so turn the TV off so that you can focus on what food is for. Food is to fill you up. Food's not for entertainment. And in so many words they were saying, you need to eat to live instead of living to eat. Which I thought was pretty amazing because that's a truth that God's Word has had in it for hundreds of years. And yet we have to wait for a morning TV show to tell us that. So what else does God's Word say about our health habits? Well, in Proverbs 25, verse 27, it says that it is not good to eat too much honey. Who knew that was in there? You know, God's Word tells us that we should be careful about the amount of sweet things we eat. That's not just wisdom that you pick up at Gold's Gym when you hire a personal trainer. That's godly wisdom. That's wisdom that you have had in your hands sitting on your coffee table. Also in Proverbs, back just a couple chapters from there, in chapter 23, it says, put a knife to your throat if you are given to gluttony. Wow. That's strong. That's in there too. I'm not making that up. So is the Bible supporting suicide? By no means. What this verse is talking about is it's helping us to understand the dangers of overeating on a consistent basis. Gluttony will kill you. You're putting a knife to your throat. Overeating is a life-threatening behavior. There are many terminal health risks that are connected to a lifestyle of overeating. God knew this. He made our bodies. He knew this. So He told us hundreds of years ago that we need to be careful of this. He shared His wisdom with us. We also see in the book of Daniel, we see that a disciplined diet of healthy food is good for our bodies. I want you to turn with me to that passage there in Daniel. Daniel's in your Old Testament. It's in between Psalms and Matthew, which is the first book in your New Testament. It is directly in between Ezekiel and Hosea. Daniel chapter 1. I got lucky. I'll give you guys a few minutes. Daniel chapter 1, down in verse 12. Daniel's talking to the chief official. And he says, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine and they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. Back a few months ago, I got one of those wintry coughs. You know those coughs? They just don't go away. And my throat was just sore. And the only thing that I could find that would help it was water. And so I just started drinking a lot of water. I was not a big water drinker before this. And so I just started drinking lots and lots of water because it was the only thing that made my throat feel better. After my throat got better, I just kept up with a habit because it was something I kind of got used to. I kind of started liking it. I wasn't drinking my Coke in the morning. I'm not a coffee drinker, so every once in a while I'd have a Coke in the morning. Sometimes I'd have a Coke halfway through the day, you know, to give me a little pick-me-up. I stopped doing that. I started realizing, you know, I can think more clearly. I can sit and work more consistently. Instead of having a big high and jitters and then coming way down here and having to get another Coke. I thought, wow, that's pretty interesting. A few weeks ago, I had a basic physical, and I received some information that I didn't like. I'm sure some of you might be able to relate. I found out that I'm not as healthy as I once was. Am I alone? You know, it caused me to review my eating habits. And for the past 3 weeks, I've been making subtle changes to try and clean up my act. Nothing major, because I know I'm not going to be able to stick with anything major. I've been making little changes, though. Like, I've been bringing milk and cereal to work in the morning. Part of my morning routine used to be swinging by McDonald's and getting Egg McMuffin. Or going by Wendy's. They got this new chicken biscuit for breakfast. Good stuff. It's chicken. Fried chicken. But I broke that routine, and I've been bringing milk and cereal. Good cereal. You know, I'm not down there eating Fruity Pebbles or anything. That's at home. I replaced my Cheez-Its with pretzels. Simple. I started bringing carrots and grapes and bananas to snack on in between meals. It took a bad report from the doctor's office to cause me to do this, to start rechecking these things. When for hundreds of years, it's been sitting right here. And I claim to be a man who lives my life in God's hands. If we claim to live that way, shouldn't we obey what God's word says? And shouldn't we listen to His wisdom? I mean, all the things that God has proven to us that He's right about. He goes to this story here in Daniel, and God's saying, hey, vegetables are good for you. Water's good for you. How many times have we heard that? You hear that all the time. God was saying it hundreds of years before your parents were. Before the health gurus were, before the health magazines or the health channel was saying these things, God was saying, hey, vegetables, water, it's good stuff for you. And he proved it. He didn't only tell us, but he proved it through these individuals, through Daniel and his friends, that these things are good for us. You know, if we would just listen to the wisdom in this book, then we might not have to worry so much about our health. God's word also addresses our downtime. We need downtime. We're made for downtime. We need time to relax and recoup. We should get proper sleep, relaxation, and rest. Jesus knew this. He was getting away himself a lot of times to retreat. And in Matthew, or actually Mark chapter 6, verse 31, he tells the disciples, hey, come on, guys, you need to get away. You need to pull away from this. You need some time to rest. You need some time to recoup. God told us in the Ten Commandments that once a week we are supposed to take a day off, a 24-hour period once a week where we rest. And it wasn't, I'd like for you to do this because it'll be good for you. It was a commandment. We talked about this about a year ago in a sermon series called Living in the Red. And if you go to our website and you go to the current sermon series, which is In God's Hands, I've got a link there that you can go and review the Living in the Red series. And also another sermon called Why Worry that touches on a lot of the things that we're touching on today. You know, God told us, you rest 24 hours. Every 6 days, you take a day and you rest on that seventh day. And that's a commandment. And that's just plain healthy. That's just good for us. And we wonder why we're so out of whack with our health. I mean, maybe if we would just lay our lives fully in God's hands, listen to the wisdom that he has for us, and we obey it instead of just sitting back and saying, well, that's good information. We actually do something about it and we follow it. Then maybe we would be a healthier group of people. And I believe that this is even bigger than our physical health. I believe there's a bigger picture here. Listen to these verses. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul says that he beats his body and makes it his slave. Why does he do this? Because he wants to be in good shape? Does he beat his body because he wants to be a good example? He beats his body because he doesn't want to be disqualified from the prize. Is our physical body connected to our spiritual growth? He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, that whatever we eat or drink, or whatever we do, he specifies whatever you eat or you drink, and then whatever else. But he made sure that he specified those things. Whatever you eat, whatever you drink, and whatever else, we are to do so in a way that glorifies God. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, that on the day of judgment, we will all go before God and we will be responsible for the things that we did while we were in our bodies. In 2 Corinthians 7:1, he says that we should purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the what? The body and the spirit. If only the spirit mattered, then why didn't he just say spirit? Anything that contaminates the body and the spirit. And we should do so out of reverence to God. Our bodies, the actions we do with our bodies, the actions that are done while we're in our bodies, they have spiritual repercussions and spiritual reflections. Caring for our bodies, it's not just a healthy thing. It's not just the wise thing to do. I believe it's more than that. I believe caring for our bodies is a spiritual practice. In Romans 6:13, we are told to offer our bodies to God and that we should use the parts of our bodies as instruments of righteousness. Think about that for a minute. If you were in better health, Could you be of greater service to God's kingdom? Think about all that our bodies are related to when you're answering that question. Good health, eating right, getting the right sleep. That allows us to be our strongest, not only physically, but mentally, doesn't it? Emotionally. It allows us to be strong in those areas as well. These are all connected. We function better when our physical body is healthy. We make better decisions. We can think more clearly. We're more patient with others. We have more emotions available to love others with. We have our minds, and our minds are more keen. And when we read God's Word, we have a better chance of recalling more of that information. One, so that we can use it in our own lives. And two, so that we can pull it up when we're sharing with somebody. And they could use some biblical wisdom. You know, many of you know that I'm a guitarist. And I remember back the day when I got my Les Paul. Now, some of you might not be familiar with the name Les Paul. I assure you, any musician in this room knows the name Les Paul. Thank you. Les Paul is a type of guitar made by a company called Gibson. So you have a Gibson Les Paul. And in the music industry, a Gibson Les Paul is known as one of the best out there. And there's a reason for that. They've got a great reputation. Now, my guitar doesn't play itself. You still have to put in the hours upon hours of practice to develop the skills. But even a skilled musician with poor equipment has a hard time sounding good. But a skilled musician with good equipment can sound amazing. I've got a cheap guitar. I love to play my cheap guitar. I like the way it sounds. It's got some things about it that I like, but I could never use that cheap guitar in the studio. Because in the studio, you hear things that you don't hear live. And it picks your instrument apart. It picks your playing apart. Of all the albums that I've recorded on, every one of them, I used my Les Paul. Why? Because it's a quality instrument. It produced a quality sound. It produced a consistent sound. It stayed in tune. And not only did each string stay in tune, but all the way up and down the fretboard, all those notes stayed in tune. It was faithful. It was dependable. In Romans 6:13, we are told to offer the parts of our bodies as what? Instruments. As instruments of righteousness for God. What kind of instrument are you offering God? Are you offering an instrument that's physically dependable? The parts of your body, are they quality? Are they consistent? Are you able to be faithful? Or are you offering to God an unhealthy instrument? An unreliable instrument? An unpredictable instrument? A neglected instrument? So God has given us our bodies. And as a Christian, your body has been bought. Not only did God make your body, not only did he make us in His own image, and He gave our bodies to us, but if you are a Christian this morning, then as Christians, our bodies are not our own. Because they have been bought. They have been paid for by Jesus Christ. We are entrusted with these magnificent bodies. We are managers of these bodies. Another word for manager is a steward. We are stewards of these bodies. We're managing something that belongs to God. You know, many of us worry about our physical health. But what about our spiritual health? Our physical health, these bodies. Though I believe that God desires us to be responsible with these bodies, we should put even more emphasis on our spiritual health. 1 Timothy 4:8 says that physical training is of some value. He doesn't say it's not valuable. He says physical training has some value. It's of some value. But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. How many of us really take our spiritual life seriously? Our spiritual health. And we stress over high blood pressure or bad test results. Some of us have been faced with sicknesses and diseases. And just thinking about those things, you've got cold sweat running down your face, and you're worried and you're concerned. How worked up do we get about our physical health? And how worked up do we get about our spiritual health? Because it's of much greater importance. Because our spiritual health is good for now and for the life to come. Philippians 3:20 says that our citizenship is in heaven. And in 3:21 it says that our bodies will be transformed when Christ comes back. In Revelation 21:4 it says that he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. This morning we talked about a lot of things that we do have some control over involving our health. But there are a lot of things that we don't have control over. There are sicknesses and diseases that no matter how healthy you are, you might still get a hold of one of those. In those situations, we're still in God's hands. And we can know that if our spiritual life is healthy, then we have the guarantee of a new body when we die. Amen? And that's exciting to me. That's very exciting to me. You know, we look at these things and we know as Christians we are in God's hands. We're in His hands because He's made us. We're in His hands because He knows how we work. We're in His hands because He's given us information and He guides us and He protects us. And he tells us, hey, here's some wisdom. Here's some ways that you can live in my hands and be healthy. And we also have the assurance that when it is something that we cannot control, when it's something that is out of our hands, it is still in God's hands. And even if it comes to our passing, we are in God's hands.